Good morning. I was a pastor for about 23 years. I've been retired about 3 years now, and there have been a handful of times that when I stood up to preach, the worship had been so awesome and the music so amazing, I said, I think we could go home now before I start talking. And to their disappointment, I never let them go at that point. But wow, the music, the bell arrangement, and this last song I've never heard before. And I was brought to tears a couple times this morning. So the Holy Spirit is moving, and that's how I always know. I get goosebumps or tears. So it's good to be with you again today. I have preached here a couple of different times, and it's really nice to be here. And I'm loving this sermon series, and I hope you are too. The book of Acts is just an amazing and important historical book. And it was right for us to begin this series right after Easter. And of course, you know, that was planned. And here's why, is because sometimes after Easter, we can go, woohoo, all right, hallelujah. I'm so thankful God saved me through my loving Jesus Christ. And thank you, God. Amen. And then we go about our usual business. But we wanted this sermon series to sort of say, okay, let's not just go about our usual business. Let's go after it. Let's not settle for just an okay walk with God. Let's be challenged and enjoy all that God has for us. So our series has gone like this. Week one, don't settle for salvation, which sounds so weird because we're grateful for salvation, but there's so much more here and now that God wants for us. Week two was don't settle for keeping it to yourself, which can be a real challenge for many of us because it's hard for us to talk about Jesus. But listen, when you know and you've got a good thing, you've got to find a way to share it. Week three was don't settle for comparisonitis, which is honestly probably not a real word, but it's a real thing. And when we compare our gifts with other people's gifts, we're not letting God work his best for all his people. I just like this morning, what a perfect illustration of all the gifts coming together for worship. It takes all of us to make ministry work. And so that brings us to today, and it just might be the most challenging for me thus far, and maybe yours too, and that is, and I'm going to try working the clicker myself, this week is don't settle for comfort. It's part of our human condition, don't you know, to subconsciously always strive for comfort. If you could imagine me sitting in my lazy boy at home with the legs up, it's great to be comfortable. And in fact, I think subconsciously, or maybe consciously, we say to ourselves, if I'm comfortable, I have arrived. But don't get me wrong, comfort's not all bad. Rest and relaxation are good, even necessary. I tell my husband this all the time. Sabbath is very good, but comfort is not a good posture for our spiritual life. So, if you want a full, abundant life with God, don't settle for comfort. Listen for God's voice and follow where he leads, even when it's not comfortable. Now, wait. Did you hear what I just said? What I just slipped in there? I said, listen for God's voice and follow where he leads. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Have you ever really believed that God was giving you direction or prompting you with a vision or a desire to do his work? It might sound like an odd question, but it goes very closely with what we're talking about today. Take the book of Acts as we hear about the work of the early church. Last week, if you happen to be here, if you're keeping up on the reading, we read about seven men full of the Spirit and wisdom, the scripture says, who were chosen by the 12 disciples to help with the food distribution among the believers. We realize these men were selected by humans, but the truth is God was giving them counsel through the Holy Spirit, because that's the job or the role of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift from God. We can only imagine how many duties and ministries were popping up for and with the followers of Jesus in that day, and they eagerly wanted to begin to live out what Jesus had taught them: justice, mercy, and love. And frankly, ladies, it was going to take a lot more than 12 men to get it done. Two of the men chosen that day were named Stephen and Philip. Not the disciple Philip, common name. But lest you forget that being chosen to serve food is a menial task that is one and done, you will soon find out differently as you read chapter 7 and 8 this week, which I hope you will. And in chapter 7, we find this Stephen not only distributing food, but he is also performing miracles and other signs and wonders, all in the name of Jesus. Temple authorities heard him, get wind of this, and they arranged some trumped-up charges against him, and he is seized and brought before the Sanhedrin. To their charges, he answers, as you will read, with a speech that is declared blasphemy against God. And Stephen, frankly, very swiftly, is stoned to death. Stephen was the first Christian to die for his faith, the first Christian martyr. Someone who was chosen to serve food found himself in the very important and divine role of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stephen could have stayed quiet, but he didn't settle for comfort. And the world is forever changed because of it. After Stephen's death, as you can imagine, a great persecution began across the church at Jerusalem, and all except the 12 were scattered. Chapter 8 begins by telling us about one of the seven who was scattered, and his name is Philip. In Acts 8, 4 and 5 reads like this: "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there." Now, the believers were scattered because of the persecution, but God was using this horrific event to spread the gospel of Jesus. God did not cause the persecution, but God will use pressing circumstances to guide us into his will. Sometimes we must be shaken out of our comfortable state before we do what God wants us to do. Can I hear an amen on that? Now, no respectable Jew would want to go to Samaria, but Jesus had gone to Samaria, and evidently, this is where Philip felt called to go when he was scattered with the rest. You see, Philip had received power from the Holy Spirit that prompted him to do more than run and hide, more than distribute food. God called him to give also the living bread to people who were seen as enemies of the Jews. Now, you've heard of the Samaritans, the Good Samaritan, the woman at the well that Jesus talked to. She was a Samaritan. In fact, Jesus was constantly talking about and reaching out to Samaritans. And the story of the Samaritan people is that about 750 years before the story we're reading today, the Assyrian army conquered this area of northern Israel and deported all of the wealthy and middle-class Jews from the area. And then pagans moved in from many different places and cultures. And the pagans intermarried with the remaining Jews in northern Israel. And from these people came the Samaritans. But Philip allows God to put him in a very uncomfortable situation and place. And when the crowds hear Philip proclaim Jesus as Messiah, and they saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. And verse 8 in chapter 8 tells us there was great joy in that city. Great joy. God had paved the way, and Philip followed the uncomfortable call. Then, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John, two of the 12, to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And they did receive the Spirit. And as then Peter and John headed back to Jerusalem, they preached in many Samaritan villages, and many believed. If Peter and John and Philip had settled for comfort, not entering what we would call enemy territory, these folks would never have heard the good news about Jesus and his salvation. What a story. What work God is doing through Philip. Oh God, what must you have next here in this town? How many more people will Philip reach? But here's what happens. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, watch the words, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. What? Leave? Go where? South through the desert? Whose voice is that? Where did this voice come from? If one heard the call to leave, such a blessed, fruitful ministry, one might think it was the devil speaking and not the Lord. One might think, not now, Lord, not me, not there. I'm the frontline man here. I'm indispensable. I can't go now. Yet it was at precisely this moment when God called Philip to leave the area. Now, you and I might think that Philip would object to leaving the immense success in the work of Samaria to go out to the desert road, but Philip trusted that God had a plan in it all. And he submitted to God's plan, and he started the journey. Now, how many times have I used the word called or prompted or Philip heard already today? Sometimes you may hear a small whisper or prompt to go. God is always wanting to speak to us. And when God is leading, he's got to get our attention some way. How does God speak to you? It was just a few weeks ago. Fred and I have two daughters, and I talk to them not every day, but, you know, we talk quite a bit. And the older daughter, I had called her in the morning, and she was busy getting ready for work. She has a great job, but I could tell she was distracted, and she said, I just really can't, I got a lot going on, Mom. And I said, okay. But as I got ready for my day and I started heading to church for my work, I, in my spirit, heard, send her some flowers today. And I thought, well, Lord, that's a lot of money. You know, you can't go, you can't order, you know, flowers without getting to be $100. And I thought, I don't know, that might make her, you know, everybody likes flowers, but, you know, send them to work. But it wouldn't go away. Wouldn't go away. So being a cheapskate, which my husband might argue against that, but I decided, there's a florist out by where she works, and I decided when I saw the delivery fee, and it was just by where she worked, but I saw the delivery fee, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to drive to the florist and pick out something in the case and just take it to her. So that's what I did. And I walked into her place of business, and her office is behind a glass window kind of thing, but her door was shut. And she was on the phone. But it's not a big place. And I walked in, and I had these lovely flowers. And her coworker said, oh, is it her birthday? And I said, no, it's just a day. And as I was saying that, I was walking past her office windows, and she caught me and saw me while she's on the phone. And I saw her instantly start to cry. And I thought, oh. Well, I just sat down and waited for her to get off the phone. And what I did not know, but God did, that was an extremely difficult phone call she was having, a conference call. And I did not know anything about it. But there I was when she finished her phone call and opened the door and said, oh, Mother. And received the flowers, of course, gratefully. And when she told me a little bit about what was going on, I said, well, God wanted you to know, honey, that he sees you today. It wasn't about me. And, of course, that made her cry some more. I had permission to tell her this story. But here's the thing. It's not just about the thing that God wants us to do, or let's use the word transaction. It's about the transformation. Sometimes my daughter can just want to be a tough little cookie. And she needed to know that God saw her today. Transformation can come from us just surrendering to God's time and place in our lives. Do you really want to hear the voice of God? Then listen for the Spirit. And the first way to experience the Spirit is to start the journey. As a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God has taken up residency in you and me. Should I repeat that? The Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you, all 40 of us, or how many of all of God's people. We've sung some beautiful songs today, declaring and giving thanks for the Holy Spirit. So that leads me to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Not know of Jesus, but have you started the journey of following Jesus? Don't worry about being all cleaned up before you come. I do not clean up before I get into the shower. I do fix my hair before I go to get it cut, but that's another story. I do not clean up before I get into the shower. I step into the shower to experience cleaning. Same with Jesus. Maybe today you're feeling the nudge to say yes to Jesus and start a new journey. There's not a checklist of what to do or what not to do. Simply say yes to Jesus. Are you willing to start the journey and take on the attitude that I am ready to follow even if it's uncomfortable? Leaving a fruitful ministry to go to the desert is foolish from man's perspective, but wise if directed by God. What could be more foolish than to leave a place of prospering ministry and go to a desert road? When I was called to be a pastor a million years ago, but actually it was, you know, like 35 years ago, I was working as a substance abuse counselor for public health in our community. At my going away party, the director of public health, who was also a fellow church member and a friend, actually lamented at my leaving to me privately when he said of my chosen direction, what a waste. It didn't make sense for him, for me, to leave a position I was good at. I was contributing well to the organization and the community. And to him, it was a waste of my talents and gifts to leave and do what God was calling me to do within the church. Now, to be sure, God and I had many discussions about my call because I thought it was simply ridiculous that I should be a pastor. I argued that I was reaching lots of people in the community who never stepped foot in a church. But in the end, and it was confirmed by trusted counselors, that this was God's call on my life. And in fact, I've got to tell you, everything God has called me to do has been difficult. But there was always the assurance, and this is important, always the assurance that God had called me to it. And I must keep trusting him for open doors. Now, what if you and I will not listen to the uncomfortable call of God? Might someone miss the joy of Jesus just because some Philip or some Barb, and you can fill in your name, have their ears plugged and their feet up? What if we're not willing to go? And am I still willing to go if I am sent? And I would add, I'm here, aren't I? Friends, start a journey with Jesus. Begin now. And when you hear the voice of God, go. He will make it happen, but we need to take the first step. Do you remember the story in the book of Joshua when God's people are about to step into the promised land? They first have to cross the Jordan River, but before the river will part for them to walk, the priests have to step into the water. And the water will not pass until they do. And as soon as they put their foot in the water, a sign of trust, God parted the river. Well, here is what is so cool about the rest of this story, is that Philip was not the only one being led by the Spirit. There was a man from Ethiopia who had been stirred to curiosity, or can we say prompted, about this Jesus. And so lo and behold, in the middle of the desert, God's plan begins to unfold. So let's go back to the text. So he, Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, there it goes again, go to the chariot and stay near it. Out on a desert road, Philip encounters an Ethiopian who was returning from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship, and he is now parked alongside the road reading the Bible. What a setup. Only God can orchestrate this. Notice how we're introduced to this man. He was first Ethiopian, non-Jewish. Samaritans were an uncomfortable lot to go to, but they were kind of like them. But Ethiopians, they look different. They act different. They speak another language. There's a huge cultural difference for sure. But we learn more about this unnamed Ethiopian man. How would you like to always be known as the Ethiopian eunuch for all of eternity? But that's all we've got. This man was an important person of rank and authority within the queen's administration. Initially, his ethnicity is highlighted, but he is first an Ethiopian and secondly a eunuch. And in Judaism, eunuchs were forbidden from participating in temple rituals and from full admittance into Israel's community, even if they wanted to convert. It was adherence to the Old Testament law. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. But here he is, coming from Jerusalem, obviously searching for a connection with God. I can't imagine how he must have felt to be marginalized and pushed out to the perimeter, labeled, and not allowed full access. It was a requirement that he become a eunuch so he could serve his queen. He was a person of quality, a great man in his own country. He was in charge of the treasury. He commanded respect and had great authority. We wonder, this man may have had quite a swagger about him as he served the queen of the Ethiopians. And here, out in the middle of nowhere, Philip runs into him. searching for God, what are the chances? Now, can't you imagine Philip saying, please, God, do not let this be why I am here. I'm nothing like this man. He's rich, a VIP, not to mention nothing like me culturally. Have you ever been somewhere that is definitely out of your tax bracket? Above your pay grade? It is uncomfortable. And yet, after we start this journey, this is where you and I want to ask for open doors. Philip started the journey, and God delivered. This man was reading from a familiar book of the Bible. And plainly, God had arranged this meeting between Philip and the Ethiopian. And it's a wonderful example of how God opens doors. God directed Philip because God had already arranged the open door. Do you see that? One of the greatest jobs in preaching the gospel is to simply pray for open doors. And then having prayed for that, we must keep alert to the opportunities that God presents. Philip was effective as a preacher because he knew how to flow with what the Spirit wanted to do. He was truly led by the Spirit and not by his own whims and feelings. God, who had raised Jesus from the dead, will open doors and bring people together who seem very unlikely to work together. God has gifted all of us so that we can reach out to all people on this big green earth with the message of God, his love in his son, Jesus Christ. Simply put, in God's economy, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and none of us is unlikely. When Philip hears the man reading a familiar passage, he springs into action. Acts 8:31. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip knew at that moment that God had given him an open door, and Philip ran. And as I understand it from all I read, Jewish men don't run. But Philip saw that open door, and then he did the next thing. He embraced obedience, and obedience creates opportunity. God does the heavy lifting by preparing hearts through his Spirit, and we just need to go to be obedient. Seek to have an attitude of expectation of God's work. It is more than that transactional work on our part that we talked about a moment ago. Friends, people are searching for a connection with Christ. And you and I just need to be willing to open our mouth sometimes and have a conversation that just might lead to transformation. Okay, this is where I might lose some of you. How do I jump into this uncomfortable thing like conversation with someone about Jesus? I don't know enough. I wouldn't know where to start. Well, first, I'm glad you asked. Ask a good question. Like Philip, who said, do you understand what you're reading? It was gracious and subtle, but it opened an opportunity to explain the passage. The Ethiopian official was interested, and he asked for help in understanding. And that's how the Spirit brings two people together. God had brought someone, Philip, to bring understanding to the Ethiopian. So Philip is offering help, and the Ethiopian man says, step up into my Hummer limo. Uncomfortable? You bet. But don't settle for comfort, because the next steps get easier as you embrace obedience and take the first step. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somewhere else? And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, you have to go home and read Isaiah 53, right? Find out what this is all about. And so the second thing that is breaking down barriers to uncomfortable conversation is to find common ground. The Isaiah passage was a prophetic passage about Jesus being led like a lamb to the slaughter and deprived of justice. And here is the Ethiopian man, one who is without justice, who has been marginalized in trying to understand who God is. Coincidence? I don't think so. To be sure, Philip talked more than this passage from Isaiah, but this was the start. He looked for an opening. He began at common ground with the Ethiopian, but he made his way to talking about Jesus and how Jesus made a difference in his own life. One led to the other. Too many people today want to focus on what we must do for God, but the gospel begins with and is founded upon what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Find the words to share what Jesus has done for you. Philip is doing his part of the commission. What we want to do is meant to be a missional thing. God will use you if you start the journey. Ask for open doors and embrace the obedience. It may seem overwhelming, but we can be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and the rest of the world. God will work in and through you in ways that you cannot imagine. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to hear his voice? It will require each of us to do our part and to not get caught up in the results, because obedience is our part and the results are God's. So, our last piece of scripture as we finish up the story. As Philip and the eunuch, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Can you see? The Ethiopian himself was ready to respond to the gospel, and this was a work of the Holy Spirit. It was not a tribute to Philip's salesmanship, but to Philip's obedience and being willing to not settle for comfort. I want to repeat that. It was not a tribute to Philip's salesmanship, but to Philip's obedience in being willing to not settle for comfort. The joy of the Ethiopian, even after Philip's strange departure, who knows what that was about, but he ended up about 20 miles from where he was. I don't know. But the fact that the Ethiopian left rejoicing and praising God shows that his faith was firmly rooted in God, not Philip. Because what would you say? Where'd he go? Where is he? But he knew he was changed. Our desire for comfort limits how often God can use you. Philip was used in multiple ways in just a few short chapters in Jerusalem, Samaria, Gaza. And haven't you seen that in your life too? That God has a whole bunch of ways that you can be useful in his kingdom work. God will use you too for all your life in many ways and circumstances. Start the journey, ask for open doors, and embrace obedience. Are you willing to be uncomfortable? When you are in God's will, my experience is it's only uncomfortable until you say yes. And then it's not always easy, but you know you're in God's will for you, and that gets you through. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in each of us and among us, as we have brought ourselves and our gifts to worship this morning, we pray that you alone have been glorified. Lord, when we read stories that happened so long ago to people who are truly a world away from us, they often seem strange and maybe irrelevant, but they are wonder-working stories that tell us of your great power and how you move. Help us, God, to listen for your voice and to not miss the things you want to do here and now. We might think they're not huge, amazing stories. It might be as simple as take your daughter some flowers, take your neighbor a plate of cookies, ask your coworker how they're doing today. Who knows how you might prompt us, but we will trust that you have already laid out the path on the other end, and we just need to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.